Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for such a beautiful morning and the freedom and privilege to come to your house to worship. But not only that, the baby dedication. What a beautiful way to start a Sunday worship service. You've blessed me with so many things in my life that I don't deserve. A beautiful family that I love and loves me. I know that you're my Lord and Savior. But we get mixed up in the hustle and bustle of our daily activities in life. And at times we seem to forget what you've created. And you opened my eyes several weeks ago. The routine of going to work, coming home. But when I walked out of the house, I heard the birds singing. That's the first time I've heard that in quite a while. And I thank you for that. I thank for the great turnout that we had last night during youth night, for the workers that were here. Your presence were here. It was felt, it was seen, the expressions on those children's faces. You were here. I ask if anybody doesn't know the Lord, that they listen to the message, your message, that Brother Cal and Brother Billy are going to speak today. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
All right. What a great week it's been. Our youth did have a great worship rally last night here at the church. Well, it wasn't last night. It was from 3 to 6:30. And then I was involved in a wedding of two of our own, of Seti and Abby. Now they're Perrys, both of them. And in Lebanon, place that I'd never been to over around Lebanon. But it had a fantastic evening over there. And one of the most special wedding services I've been a part of. And it was just a great day. And I've had the privilege this week to preach or teach 8 times. I love serving God. Now, you know, it was a little bit easier 30 years ago, but it's been a great week. And look at the weather outside today. Let's give God praise one more time. Hallelujah. And what we're going to do this morning is we're in the second of a sermon series on Easter essentials. I'm going to be preaching until Easter. Well, next week I'm going to revert to something else because it's homecoming. And oh my goodness, you don't want to miss next Sunday. You want to be here. It's going to be huge. So I'll preach on something else, a different topic next Sunday. But until Easter, basically, we're going to be in this sermon series and looking at the essentials and the events that took place during what we would consider to be Passion Week, Easter, if you will. And last week, we looked at the betrayal in the garden that took place. And so now Jesus has been arrested and and he's being hauled into the courts to be tried. And it was just an unbelievable, it was probably the most outrageous trial in all of human history. I don't know, there's a lot of famous trials that, you know, you can think of. I think of the Scopes Monkey trial back in the 20s, and I think of the Nuremberg trial after World War II. I think of Saddam Hussein's trial. I don't know if y'all remember that. I know all of you probably know about, if you weren't there, you've heard about the O.J. Simpson trial, the Michael Vick trial, the JonBenet Ramsey trial, a lot of different trials through the years in our country, but the most famous trial of all was that of Jesus Christ. And actually, there's two trials. It was a religious trial and a civil trial with the civil authorities. And so at last week, they arrested Jesus, and that kind of gets us up to snuff here. And then this interrogation, this travesty of injustice began. And so if you've got your Bible this morning, let's take a look at John's Gospel. And I guess, Ellen, let me start there at verse 12 of John 18. John 18 and verse 12. And let's honor God's Word by standing one more time today. And then you'll get to sit down for a little while. John 18, verse 12. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And then jump down to verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus answered him and said, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I've said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Anna sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Billy Walker, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Lord, help us to come to this familiar story with fear and trembling, because who are we, Lord, that you, our King, should die for us?
Yes.
Reveal this to us in a fresh and new way. Remove the scales from our eyes. Make our heart tender. Speak powerfully through my brother here. Give him the power of prophecy. Spirit of
God. In
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, brother. First of all, this angry mob takes Jesus down to the retired high priest's house. His name was Annas, and he used to be the high priest, but he's retired now. But he had a lucrative temple business. You remember when Jesus ran the money changers out of the temple and cleansed the temple? Well, guess who was overseeing and all those temple shops that were selling and making big profits? Guess who was over all that? That's right, Annas. And so Jesus, by his cleansing of the temple, had kind of affected his income, not just kind of, but had gotten, he's not making near the money. So guess what? He's angry and he wants to get even with Jesus. And so he interrogates him, has a hearing. And y'all, that took place about 2 a.m. And then about 3 a.m., he sends him down to his son-in-law's house, Caiaphas, who was the reigning high priest. And there, Caiaphas brought the religious charge of blasphemy there, because Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. How many of you know he is the Son of God? And so about 6 a.m., Jesus was hauled in front of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the what we would call the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. These were the uppity-ups. These were the folks, these were the religious leaders of the Jewish faith. And so he's hauled in front of the Sanhedrin where the death penalty was handed down. But you see, the Jews were under Roman law and Roman care, so they couldn't execute anyone. They couldn't, even though they had laid the death penalty on him, they had to turn him now over to the civil authorities. That was the religious charge, blasphemy, okay? And so they turn him over, and to do that, before they could turn him over to the civil authorities, they had to kind of rework the charges. And here's what they did. They sent him to the civil court with the charge of treason. Because Jesus, after all, claimed to be a king. And he's not just a king, he's King of Kings. And so on the charge of trying to overthrow the Roman government. Y'all with me so far? And so at 7 a.m., the Jewish High Court, the Supreme Court, sent him to the Roman governor, Pilate, and with this charge of treason. And Jesus is then taken, you know, Pilate's interrogating him and asking questions of him. And when he realizes that Jesus has been up in Galilee and from Galilee, he sends him to Herod because that was Herod's jurisdiction. And he sends him to Herod. And then Herod got to question him and asking him. And so he sends him back to Pilate's. And, you know, it was an outrageous trial. I think the civil authorities wanted to set him free. I think Pilate wanted to let him go. It says that in the Scripture. But nobody had the backbone in the civil courts to set him free. And so when you put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together, when you put all those gospel accounts together, you find courtroom drama that's second to none. And high suspense. Just an amazing, but above all else, it is a trial of the travesty of justice. The trial of Jesus Christ was an outrage. And we're going to look at that this morning. The place and the times of the proceedings of this that took place. It was illegal to have proceedings and hearings at 2 and 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. That wasn't right. That was illegal. Most of the time before, you know, after all the evidence was in, there was an interval of about 24 hours a day or so before the verdict was handed down and the sentencing was given. And so that didn't take place. The defendant, the Lord Jesus, wasn't allowed to have a lawyer speak on his behalf. The judge was the prosecuting attorney. And they brought all these false witnesses in. And none of their testimonies agreed. And by the way, no one stood up and testified for Jesus. And so what this is really more of a lynching than it is a trial. If there was ever a kangaroo court, this is it. And so let's take a look with me. I want to say three things about Jesus in this trial of travesty, this outrageous trial. I want us to look at the innocence of Jesus, the magnificence of Jesus, and the endurance of Jesus. It's unbelievable. And I pray that God would make this trial real to your heart. It really happened. It really happened. Let's look at the innocence of Jesus. The charges I've kind of touched on a little bit, but look at John 19 and verse 9. I'd rather back up to verse 8. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Now look at John 18 and verse 33. This is key here. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests had delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and he said to them, I find no fault in him at all. He was innocent of all the charges that had been brought against him. You know, he was charged with blasphemy in the religious court of being the Son of God. But it's not blasphemy if it's true. Y'all tracking with me this morning? Did somebody say we're here? All right. Let me hear about it from time to time. Amen. And so they brought this charge of treason to the civil courts of being a king, that he's trying to overthrow the Roman government, but Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. And so those were the charges. In the religious court, blasphemy. In the civil court, treason. Okay? Y'all with me so far? Now, let's look at these witnesses. Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. The innocence of Jesus. Innocent of all charges. Now, look at these witnesses. Matthew 26, 59. Watch this. Matthew 26, 59. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. And so what you've got here is all these false witnesses being brought in, but they couldn't agree. Their testimonies didn't agree. And you know, in order for someone to be condemned, to bring charges against somebody, you had to have two or three witnesses, and all those witnesses agreed. Well, they couldn't even agree on what they were bringing into the court. And yet no one testified for Jesus. And I got to thinking about old Judas, you know. Judas knew he had betrayed innocent blood, didn't he? Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. He knew it in his heart he was innocent. Pilate's wife had even come and told her husband, "You better let this man go. He's innocent of all charges." And so the Jews couldn't bring a true charge against him. And you know, it just dawned on me, where was all the witnesses for Jesus? What about those lepers that he had cleansed? What about all the people that he had healed from demon possession? And what about the blind man? Where were they? Where were these witnesses for Jesus? What about the folks that he'd raised from the dead? Jesus was condemned before anybody even heard all the evidence. Y'all with me so far? By the way, is there anybody here that could give witness for him? Could you give a testimony for Jesus? By the way, that's what we ought to be doing out here every single day. People need to hear about him. They need to know him. And they can get to know him if we share who he is in our lives. And so, anyone in here been changed for the better? Hallelujah. And so, that's the innocence of the Lord. He was innocent. The only thing he was guilty of was loving you and me. All right, let's take a look now at the endurance of Jesus. Man, he went through all kinds of stuff. First of all, let's look at the beating. Now, you don't have to go there. I'll go get this one for you. It's over in Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Listen to this, what Isaiah prophesies about the beating of the Messiah. Isaiah 52, 14 says, "Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage," that's his appearance, "was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." John 18 and 22 says this. John 8, "And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Do you answer the high priest like that?'" And then John 19 and verse 3 says, "Then they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they struck him with their hands." Jesus went through an awful beating. Isaiah tells us that when they got finished with him plucking out his beard and hitting him with their hands and their fists, he was so bruised up and so swollen, you couldn't even recognize who he was. The endurance of that beating that he took. And then, this is an amazing thing. Listen to what Isaiah, again, and I'll get this one for you. Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Matthew 26. Listen to this. Matthew 26 and verse 67. "Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands." Have you ever been spit upon? That doesn't happen a lot. I've watched these professional athletes spit in one another's faces. Can you imagine anything worse than being spit on? They spit in the Lord's face. They beat Him. And then thirdly, the scourging that took place. Now this is all John says about it in John 19 and verse 1. Pilate thought it might appease this huge angry crowd. And so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged Him. Scourging was the most severe form of punishment. It was normally reserved for the lowest class of criminals. And they took Him out to the courtyard, and they had these two pillars with chains extending, and they would take the criminal and they would chain him up to these two posts, to these two pillars. And then they had the Roman soldiers had this thing called a cat of nine tails, and it had a long leather strap, and then there were three leather strands running off the end of that whip. And it had tiny bits of bone and stone and metal sewn into those three strips. And so he's standing there naked, and those Roman soldiers hit him 39 times with that whip. And every time they hit him, it knocked the breath out of him. And then the whip would kind of wrap around his torso. And then they yank that thing off. And man, by the time they got done with him, his back looked like a freshly plowed field. He was bleeding. You know, a lot of folks died from the scourging. 1 Peter 2:24 says, because our bodies are scarred by sin, His body was scarred for our sin. He endured this. Why? For you and me. And then the mocking, John 19, verses 2 and 3. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe. And then they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they struck Him with their hands. They played what we would probably call blind man's bluff with Jesus. The soldiers did, and they put a blindfold on Him, and then someone, pow, hit Him in the face. Well, who hit you? If you're the Son of God, if you're really a king, tell us who hit you. Prophesy. And they did that over and over and over. All the endurance of Jesus. Why did He do all this? The Hebrew says, who for the joy endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at. You know why He went through all of that? So that we could be forgiven of our sin. And even more importantly, that was the Father's will to put His Son to death for our sin, to satisfy God's wrath towards sin. Jesus endured a tremendous beating, spitting, mockery, scourging. And then last of all, I want us to see in this the magnificence of Jesus. There's never been anyone like Him. What a special Savior we have. Isaiah 53. And again, I've got this marked. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. Listen to what Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before the cross. Isaiah 53:7 says, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He opened not His mouth. He was silent. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. John 19:9 says, and He went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are You from? But Jesus gave Him no answer. Jesus was silent through much of this trial. He could have done or said anything He wanted to so that they would have to let Him go free. But He didn't do that. You know why He did that? Listen to 1 Peter 2:23. 1 Peter 2:23 says this. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return? When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. He didn't say a word because he knew he was satisfying God's will for his life. You know, here's just a side note. I don't want to chase this rabbit too long. But brothers and sisters, when somebody's doing you wrong, you don't have to take up for yourself. You don't even have to speak up in your defense. You know what Romans tells us? Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I will repay. I got a preacher buddy up in East Tennessee. Y'all heard the little guy. He was out up underneath the tent out at Kenwood in our tent revival. But that young fellow a few years ago was treated like no pastor ought to ever been treated. And that people lied against him. They were horrible to Jeff and his wife, Christy. And you know what? Jeff never said a word. And they fired him. And he wound up he's in a great church up in Knoxville now. But you know what's happened? Jeff could have answered, could have taken out an article and a letter to the editor, you know. Never said a word. But all hell broke loose in that church. Minister of music was charged with raping and molesting children. The youth pastor was arrested for smoking dope. I mean, the deacons, every one of them were in trouble. I mean, vengeance is his, thus saith the Lord. He will repay. You don't have to take up for yourself. You don't have to say anything. Because the truth is like the cream. It always rises to the top. That's another sermon for another time. But that's why Jesus was silent. He didn't have to take up for himself. And then substitution is the last thing I want to say about the magnificence of our Lord. John 18:39. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you, Pilate says. At the Passover, do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And by the way, he was a murderer and a thief. And he was locked up. And the Jews had a tradition at Passover, they would set a criminal free and let him go, pardon him. And so Barabbas was in prison and awaiting execution for leading an insurrection against the Romans. And he was a murderer and a thief. To Pilate's amazement, rather than setting Jesus free, the Jews wanted to set Barabbas free. Can you imagine Barabbas stepping out and he's free and there's this big crowd out there and he looks at Jesus and Jesus has taken his place. And by the way, he took my place. A nation judges itself by the heroes it has. Do you hear the crowd hurling insults at our Lord? They're at fever pitch. Oh, but our magnificent Lord took the place of Barabbas. And he took my place and your place at the cross. He became the sacrifice, the substitute for our sin. He lived up to God's standards, all of God's commandments. He was God's perfect 10. How did he do that? Because he's fully God. He was fully human being. So he understands what you're going through. He's been there and done that. But that's how, you know, as much as I love Billy Walker, and he's a fine man, but he's got the same problem I got. He couldn't pay for my sin, and I couldn't pay for him. But guess what? We've got somebody who did, and his name's Jesus. He took our place. Hallelujah. Give him some praise. Glory to God. Well, it's time for the verdict. The Jews said he was guilty. The soldiers said he was guilty. The court said he was guilty. The crowd said he was guilty. And I want to say to everyone in here this morning, you too have to reach a verdict about Jesus. You can't just wash your hands or just be neutral when it comes to Jesus. And this morning, you're either going to crown Him or crucify Him. That's the way it is. Have you trusted Christ? I mean, have you surrendered to Him? Have you called on Him to save you from your sin? Have you surrendered to Him? Is He the Lord of your life? Have you done that? You either receive Him or you reject Him. It's one of the two. And whatever you do with Jesus or don't do with Jesus not only determines the kind of life you're going to have here, it determines the kind of life you're going to have forever. What are you going to do with Jesus? That is the question. Pray with me. This Easter, maybe the greatest thing that you could do for Jesus is totally surrender to Him. Just give your life to Him. Say, well, Pastor, my name's on church roll. That's not the question they're going to ask you when you stand before Jesus. Did you belong to a church? Well, I've been a good person. That's not what's going to be asked of you when you stand before the Lord. They're going to open up a set of books, and they're going to get one book open called the Book of Life. And they're going to look for your name. And if your name has not been written down in the Book of Life, you are going to be eternally separated from God forever. But you see, Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to do that. He rose again so that you could have life. This religious mess that we tangle ourselves up with, that's not going to get you anywhere with Jesus. You've got to have a relationship. You all know what a relationship is. That's walking and talking and living and breathing and rolling with somebody. In a living relationship, that's what God commands us to be in. A saving relationship. And as we approach Easter, if you're not born again and followed Him in believer's baptism, that's important. And taking your stand for Christ since you've been saved, I'm going to ask for you to come in just a moment. We're going to sing a hymn of response. I'm going to ask you to come and we'll get you started right. We'll get some stuff in your hands. We'll pray for you and show you where you need to go from here. And then there's others of you that are here. And either the world or the flesh or the devil has had its way with you. And you need a fresh surrender today. And you need to come and just pray and ask God to cleanse your heart and do what only He can do. Father, this is the most important time of this service. It's huge. And don't let us get sidetracked. Help us to hear from You. And most of all, let our yes be yes. Let us say yes to Jesus. And whatever the Spirit is saying to us, let us say amen and be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.